Welcome to the Opawa Baptist Podcast. If you'd like to find out more about our church, visit us on any Sunday or online at opawa.org.nz.
Anyway, as promised by Ange, I'm here today to tell you how to sort out your kids. We are recording it and it will be available for sale at the end, Ange. And I realized as I was thinking about this that I've lived through two parenting eras. When I was a kid, in the 70s and the early 80s, the mantra about children was, children should be seen, but not heard. And children were not believed, particularly if there was a conflict between a child and an adult. And anyone could parent you in those days. Your uncle or aunt might sort you out on a two-hour visit. Your neighbour might have words with you about how things were, and the local cop might chip in as well. I well remember one of my mates getting a clip round the ear from the local sergeant. There's a picture of me, about 1974, just come down from the chimney. Good looking boy. And the other thing was that smacking was common. Who was of the family that were into the jug cords? We've got jug cord people here? Yeah, I see that hand. Slippers, they were quite popular. Wooden spoons, hairbrush, okay. Shoe was the predominant one in our house. And at school, that, for the benefit of those of you who are younger, that is a strap. I got my first strap in year one. We were told before interval, when the bell goes, do not go and play on the playground. So what did we do? Of course, we went and played on the playground. Marched off to the headmaster's strap, three of them. I got my first caning in year three. That was a world of pain that I hadn't experienced. I think I talked in assembly was my crime. I got my last caning in year 11. It was abolished after I left school. And do you know what? Kids in the 70s and 80s, when there was a church lunch, we ate the last. If you went for the food before the adults had got you, there would be this hand come and grab you by the collar and pull you back. We ate last, fighting for the scraps that were left. Then, a little bit later, in the mid-90s, we had children. And we were the last of the smacking generation. Here was our implement. You might call it a spatula. Our kids referred to it as a smacker. We were told that our insistence on obedience and corporally punishing our children would crush them. To which I used to reply, yes, well, it will give them something to talk with their therapists about when they're older. Which didn't go down all that well either. And come the time that the smacking debate was starting to happen in the early 2000s, I think, our kids were following this debate quite avidly. They didn't follow any other news. And when these guys here announced that they'd gone through Parliament, our children cheered long and hard. It was the era of what I call free-range parenting. Kids were sort of released generally to do whatever they liked. And I can recall when I was pastoring at one point, this young girl from a particularly liberal family, she came up to the front while we were singing and she started stripping. She was about 6 or 7. I knew Dad was down the back, and I thought, okay, what do I do here? So the top went, the pants went, and at that point, I think I'd better get in now. So I stopped the undies going. Dad finally had got out of his seat and come to get her. Parenting another child in that era was taboo. Oh my. I remember a church discussion about parenting when one of the older people said, you know, it's actually really quite difficult for me to have a relationship with some of the kids here when they're running around constantly. Well, all the oxygen was sucked in by some of the parents at that comment. It took a while for them to come back for it. And kids ate first at church lunches. at family dues by this stage. I don't know when that flipped over, but it did. So those were the two eras that I grew up in, and that's where I come from this. And Ephesians 5:21, which I think operates a little bit like a heading for this whole section. Be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Now, as I've said already, 5 and 6 in Ephesians, Paul's basically going through the Roman household code, the social arrangements that they had in those days, and sort of giving this sort of slightly subversive tweak on all of them to point people towards the gospel. But here, he goes deeper. It's not just the Roman household code, it's a much deeper pull than that. He's going to the Ten Commandments. The law that God gave Moses and the people of Israel when they left Egypt. It's sort of an expression of the moral heart of God, the deep feelings that God has. And this commandment really is best understood, I think, not as an individual commandment, be nice to mum and dad and you'll live a long time. It's actually about to the people of Israel, follow your parents who followed me, and you as a community will live long in the land that I'm going to give you. So when you're young, obey is what it means to honor. Now, it can get a bit tricky. Who knows this guy? Anyone? He's Mickey Flanagan. He's one of my favorite comics. British guy, Cockney. And he has talked about his dad. And his dad was a thief, or as they would have described it, a tea leaf. Done a bit of time. I heard him telling the story about, he said, you know, we would go shopping together. And I would say, oh, Dad, I quite like one of those. Oh, we'll see, son. And then half an hour later, his dad would pull it out of his pocket. He'd nicked it for him. And he talked about how his house was a constantly revolving supermarket of stolen stuff. And his dad was particularly good at nicking fish, I guess from the fish market, and one of his mates was quite good at nicking meat, and so they'd come and they'd trade, and they'd work it out. Honouring a dad like that, bit of a challenge, because obedience is going to get you in trouble. But it does start with unquestioning obedience. I am constantly amazed when I see people trying to reason with two-year-olds. And I think, what are you doing? Kids just sort of looking like this, whereas mum or dad is going through three layers of differential argument. And I'm thinking, no, you are the parent. Just say, this will be so. And I think what our task as parents is best summed up by this thing. Who knows what that is? It's a funnel. And when they're little, it's down at the bottom end. It's tight. You're in this man's army or this mum's army, you do what you're told. But you're actually trying to grow their ability to cope with freedom. And good friends of ours were particularly good with little kids. You know, you will do this or else. But actually, they were still relating to their kids at age 10 like that. And it didn't end well. We've got to kind of, I think, cultivate the ability to manage freedom. And what I saw as a youth pastor in Karori, where I was, there were a lot of free-range kids who'd been said, go do anything you like as little kids. And when they got to 12, 13, and 14, and that included sex, drugs, and rock and roll, parents freaked out. And then would suddenly try to pull the freedom back. And the kids think, no blooming way are we having this. And there'd be this titanic struggle. And a lot of the kids that came to my youth group had been through that struggle, and they went out every night of the week. Parents didn't have a clue where they were. They were at youth group maybe once or twice. They were roaming the streets hanging with their mates. I had kids coming to church stoned, they had to deal with. And we got to the point where on our church camp, our youth camp thing, we started saying, you know, you can't bring alcohol or tobacco. And by the end of it, it was, you can't bring alcohol, tobacco, or weapons. Because I disarmed one of these kids. He came in, I heard this clink, and there was several bottles of beer and a really great knife. It's a lively place out there. But the funnel. And I saw Christian parents struggling with this. I remember one parent found his kids, I think they were probably year nine, that had a joint together, a marijuana cigarette. And they were a bit out of it. By the time they got full consciousness, they were grounded for a year. A year. Now, when you're 13, a year is an unimaginable amount of time. A month is a long time. He did a lot of damage to his relationship with his kids. He frustrated them. He pulled it back too tight. And I think our goal is always to try and raise responsible, self-motivated, godly adults who can manage their freedom. Well, you're not going to be able to manage freedom unless you've had some and you've had a chance to make some mistakes. And my experience of parenting was always a bit, we'll give them this freedom, fall on their face, we'll pull it back a bit, but then we'll release it again. And it was that sort of process. And it was tricky. Really tricky for Steph and I, because we had different tolerances for what we could put up with and cope with. And it was hard yakka. But for me, you start with unquestioning obedience, then you go to, I suppose, sort of a reasoned obedience, where you're prepared to listen to what Junior might have to say. Junior might have some information that you're not aware of. Then it's limited autonomy, but they have to listen. Then you're the coach, then you're the mentor when they're finally young adults. The challenge, though, I think, with honouring your parents is it doesn't say there, honour your good parents. It just says, honour your parents. It's unconditional. I had, again, in the youth group, a young girl, and her mum, to say that her mum was conservative, was saying something. I remember I was baptising her, and she was obviously profoundly uncomfortable. And what I realised eventually, what the problem was that she was afraid it was going to be a wet t-shirt contest, so she kept handing her daughter more clothing. So by the end of it, she was sort of baptised like this. But that girl never said anything, and I so respected that, because I knew that she wasn't that person. She wasn't that conservative, very prim person, but she still honoured her mum. I have another mate whose father is a noted philanderer. The kids are not quite sure that they think they might have a number of half-siblings around the country because he was so active. But she still asked him to walk her down the aisle. And she tried to maintain a relationship, even though she found him very difficult. I think she honoured him well. And for you in your situation, maybe maintaining a relationship is just too tricky. Your parent is abusive, there's just so much history. Maybe honouring is just as far as it can go, is just not to run your parent down. That might be all that you can do. Honouring, I think, is situation specific, and you need to be gentle with yourself. And I guess the final thought as parents, if you're having lots of conflict with your, I guess, typically teen, the question to ask yourself is, are we at the wrong point on the funnel? Are we frustrating them? Do we need to let them move down a bit more and have a bit more freedom? Now, the answer may be no, but I think that is the right question to ask yourself. So, I hope there was some nugget in there for you in your situation.